Amen, amen. Well, we're kicking off a new little series here, and I want to talk to you from the subject of standing out. And we're just going to call this message, this little series, before we head out to the retreat in a couple weeks here. We're just going to call it Stand Out. And I thought that, you know, before we fully jump in here, I thought it would be good for us to be put in remembrance of a really cool song called Stand Out by Disney from a Goofy movie. Like, you just can't have a title like Stand Out and not play the song Stand Out. I think it encapsulates what we want to talk about. Well, kind of, all right? Because so just hit it. Just hit it for us. Till you notice me. All right. Cut it. Anybody remember the 1995 film, A Goofy Movie? Is anybody old enough? Amen. I'm so glad I have some witnesses here. I was just talking with a young adult earlier, and somehow movies got brought up, and I was like, he's like, you know what, that song sounds kind of familiar. Like, I think I've heard that before. I was like, yeah, it was in Top Gun. And they're like, what? I'm like, you've never seen Top Gun? Like, no. I was like, oh my gosh. And then they're like, what wasn't, I forgot who they named, wasn't so-and-so in that? And I was like, no, that's Tom Cruise. Like, come on, man, come on, right? And so anyways, this is a lost generation. Maybe I should just stop preaching. No, I'm just kidding. No, okay, but A Goofy Movie. I remember 1995, I was early junior high, and I go to see this movie with my mom and my younger brothers and sisters. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is going to be the lamest experience on planet Earth. And then I walked into the movie theater, I sat down, and A Goofy Movie played. I was like, ah! It was just really cool. But you know what? I want to talk to you again from this subject of standing out. And really, this whole message comes from recently, God challenged me personally. In an area of my life. And so I want to tonight be transparent with all of you. I think sometimes, you know, as preachers, we get up and we really project righteousness and we project holiness and we project, you know, love for God and all these kind of things. But I think sometimes it's important that we are honest and we are transparent. Just simply to say that, you know what, God's not done working on any of us yet. We're all in this process of God working on us and perfecting us. I love so much Philippians chapter 1, where the Bible talks about how, you know what, God who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we're all in this process. And recently God challenged me with something. I had, let me first say this real quick. So you know a little bit about me. Like, I'm the kind of person that likes to do everything that I do to the extreme. Like, I can't go halfway. Like, I have to do everything I do. If I play soccer, I've got to be the best soccer player, you know, that I can be. If I play an instrument, I have to be the best drummer, the best singer, the best pastor, the best preacher, the best father, the best, like that's just me. Like, I got to do it all the way. I can't settle. It's just in me. I don't like to settle. And so when it came specifically to the ministry, of course, I'm involved with worship now and here in the young adults. I had begun to make decisions in the ministry based on what I thought everybody else would agree is the best decision. You follow me today? And it wasn't every decision, so don't get some crazy picture like I'm, you know, like I'm not led by God or something like that, right? Like, okay, but I had noticed I began to put a pressure and a weight on myself, and I had begun to, you know, what would everybody else agree is the best decision here? What would everybody else really like? What would get everybody's attention? And not necessarily because I want to be recognized, but just so that, you know, everybody's in agreement that this is good. And I believe that God challenged me with, you know, when God speaks to me, oftentimes he does it in with little portions of Bible verses. You know, if I could just take a moment to say, listen, if you really want to hear God's voice, you really need to get to know the Word of God. It'll begin to clarify and bring to you what God is really saying to your life. And if I'm honest, there's been times in my life I thought God spoke to me. And, well, there's even been times that God has spoken to me, but I put my own interpretation on what he was saying, and I found myself a little bit off track from where he wanted. Now, thank God for his faithfulness. He always brings you back around and gets you back on track if you're sincere and you really want to, you know, hear him and be led by him. But, and so God spoke to me this little portion of a verse, and it was this. It was, your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And here I was really striving to make everything perfect and make everything right. And what would everybody else say and all this kind of stuff. And so that I would kind of, you know, in a sense be recognized or acknowledged that, hey, he's doing a good job. He's on the right track. And somehow I thought that was going to bring about an impact in the ministry, you know. But I began to realize that, hey, there's another element, there's another ingredient involved that's going to bring about the impact in ministry and the things that we do. And so I want to share that with you tonight. So real quick, if you brought your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. This is Jesus teaching. This is like one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to these people, and he's letting them know about the kingdom of God. He's in many ways setting things straight and helping people get a correct perspective on life. Hey, listen, if you're going to live out life to the best of your ability, if you're going to have the best experience, you're going to have the right perspective. Perspective oftentimes makes all the difference, but we didn't come to talk about that. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, this is what Jesus says. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory, he says here, from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you have And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, I like this part so much, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go to verse number 16 now with me. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Man, those are some, I just really love what Jesus is saying here and what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Now, I think it's important for us to point out things, and really from this portion of scripture, this text, I want to pull, I'm just going to call them tonight pointers, all right, pointers. We're not going to necessarily have like points, like I have notes here, and I have the pointers I'm going to make, they're kind of like points to me, but just some pointers that I think will help you in your life today. Okay, now the first thing I saw here that I want to say to you today, if you go back to verse number 1, the first two words, what does Jesus say? He says, take heed. In other words, I need you to be cautious. I'm giving you a warning. There's something that I want you to look out for. I'm about to tell you what it is, but you need to pay attention, because otherwise you're not guaranteed to avoid what I'm about to tell you. I think that's important to understand, because, right, when we look at a scripture like this, and Jesus is using terms like hypocrites, Jesus is talking about people who love the praises of men. We're talking like prideful people here, conceited people, people who have the wrong motives, the wrong intentions. Like, I would venture to say that probably everybody in here, or maybe I should say it this way, that nobody in here was like, oop, that's me. Yep, Jesus, you're talking to me right now. Mm-hmm, I'm the hypocrite. Right? I think probably most people are probably like, oh, yeah, I don't need to worry about that. In fact, but I do know who does need to worry about that. Like, in fact, they're here tonight, Pastor Joe. This is a divine appointment. I'm so glad that you're talking about this, because they need to hear it. right? Like we haven't figured out, we know who we're going to share this portion of scripture with after the Friday night service is over. But Jesus here is not talking to the hypocrites. Jesus here is talking to his followers about the hypocrites. And he's telling them, I don't want you to be like this. I don't want you to be like this. I don't want you to fall into this trap where you're doing things for the sake of the recognition of other people. Can I say this to you tonight? I think all of us on some level want to be recognized. I really do. I think on if it's not in one arena or one area, it's in another. Maybe tonight you're here and you know what, you're a husband and wife and you're looking for more recognition, more affirmation, more affection from your spouse. That's not uncommon. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for some more notoriety on the job, right? Like I want my boss to recognize that I'm doing a good job. I want him to see that I'm a good employee, that I'm faithful. And maybe here tonight you're like, Pastor Joe, I believe God has called me and he's given me a promotion. I need a raise. Raises and bonuses. Hallelujah, right? Maybe it's family members, you know, maybe it's in your education at school. You know, I just got done graduating this last June, and you know, there's these different awards and different things that they're giving out to students who stood out above the others. And so we strive to get a hold of these things. Maybe it's in your friendships tonight. Maybe you know what, you have a group of friends, but you kind of feel more like a third wheel. You don't really feel central to the group, and so you kind of long for a certain recognition or establishment in those relationships. So you can be a part. You follow me tonight, and I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with those desires. Did you hear what I said? I don't think it's wrong to want to be recognized to a certain degree, to be affirmed and to be encouraged and to have somebody come along and say, hey, you're doing a good job, keep it up. Is anybody thankful that God sent some people along the way to tell you, hey, you're doing all right, keep it up, you're doing great, God's got his hand on you, things are going to turn out all right, right? But I think sometimes if we don't check some of those things, it becomes a slippery slope by which we find ourselves falling into this position where now we begin to do what it is we do. We make the decisions that we make in order to be people who please others. You follow me tonight? You see, I think while good intentions are good, good intentions do not always result in godly outcome. That's a good point right there. Good intentions do not always result in a godly outcome. My intention was good. I wanted to be seen as a good employee. I want to be, and sometimes we can slip over into, like maybe I think of good intentions not resulting necessarily godly outcome. I think of like missionary dating. Okay, maybe I should move on. I was in a conversation earlier actually with some friends, some young adults, and one of them made a really cool statement I wanted to share with you. And they said this. They said, you know what, we're talking about ministry and different ministers and different things. And they said, you know what, all of us, he said, you can take the most humblest person alive. The truth is all of us have an ego. And all you got to do is start to stroke it a little bit, and that thing will begin to pop up its ugly head. Isn't that true? Can I have a witness that anybody else has ever noticed themselves? Okay. And so Jesus warns us. Jesus warns us to say, hey, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to this. Second thing I want to share with you, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move on here. Second little pointer I wanted to share with you. In verse number 2, Jesus, it says, we'll just read it. It says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. I think we can make a simple point right here as we move on that, hey, you know what, when you do things well, don't be the person who always is going around tooting your own horn. Right? Right? Like, if you want to be annoying, be the person who every time you do something well, you do something good, your skills and your abilities begin to shine, be that person who always calls attention to what you just did, and you will become annoying. Right? Like, we all know the person who's always like, oh my gosh, did you see, did you hear what happened to me? You're like, okay, like, enough. I know you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, but you need to chill. You need to chill right now, right? Don't be that person. Do what you do, do it well, and let God bring the recognition to your life that is deserving. God is not against recognition. Come on, somebody. He says, give honor where honor is due. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but God is the God who rewards those who do well. Okay? I had this other group of friends, and we're still friends today, and I remember there's a time where we were closer, and it was just because of the situation. Nothing necessarily bad happened that we're not as close as we were. It's just, you know, life happens, right? But I remember this particular time in my life, we were all pretty close, three of us, and we got into this little habit of always tooting our own horn when we were around each other. Like, always like, oh my gosh, did you see what I did? Did you hear what happened to me? And in fact, it got so bad, we started, you know, you're getting bad when you start exaggerating what really happened just to, like, one-up the other person. And can I say this about that, about those relations, those friendships? They were ones that had some of the most friction and turmoil and conflict of all the relationships I've ever had. And I'm here to admit to you, I joined in with it. I was part of it, okay? It had to do with sports and stuff, all right? So nothing, like, too serious. But my point is, like, hey, that's not the godly way, right? That's not the way to handle things. So always go around tooting your own horn. And so Jesus says, hey, don't be like that. Don't do that. Be the person who does well and allows God to bring attention to what needs to be brought attention. I also think it's very interesting here in verse 2, at the very, very end, Jesus makes this statement. He says, you know what? If you live like that, if you live for the praises of men, if you're going around tooting your horn just to get recognized, assuredly I say to you, you have your reward. Those who do this, they have their reward. Like, this is the worst trade-off you could ever make in life, to exchange God's reward for the good things you've done for some temporal thing like the praises of men. Hello, somebody. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm the kind of God, your father's the kind of God who wants to reward you for the good things that you've done. But the moment that you start doing what you do to be recognized by others, hey, that's fine with me. You could have that all day long, but don't expect my reward to come along and bless you. You. When we enter into a position like that, we just made the exchange that, you know what, God, the praises of men are more important to me than what you have for my life. You know, sometimes I think we make this trade-off because, well, let's just be honest. When we do something well and we point it out, it's like we get instant gratification. But the way God rewards, sometimes he doesn't always reward in the time frame that we think that he should reward us in. Sometimes he waits a little bit, right? Like, sometimes he waits a little bit before his reward, the acknowledgement, comes along. Because listen, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Ultimately, he's in control of our lives. He knows exactly where he's taking us. And should he reward us every time we think he should, maybe that wouldn't bring about the outcome that he really wants. So he waits. And so if you make this exchange for an instant gratification, you'll lose God's reward. But I want to encourage y'all tonight, because my Bible tells me that God is not mocked. That whatever a man or a woman sows, that will they also reap. Hello, somebody. And if you sow what is good, payday is on the way. There's going to come a time where the recognition will come. There's going to come a time where the promotion will come, where the raise will come, where honor is given, where honor is due. You follow me today? And that's why in Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says this. It says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, in the right time and in the right place, in the divine position, what does he say? We will reap if we don't lose heart. See, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you're sowing what is good and you're sowing you're doing well, God says, hey, I'm going to reward that. Second thought I thought was the third thought that I thought was really interesting here is found in verse number 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room. He says, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I put this down on my notes, that God is looking to cause people to stand out. You follow me today? Like, it's almost like Jesus is telling people, like, don't try to stand out, but I want you to stand out. Right? Like, don't try and stand out, but I'm going to have you stand out. It's almost like an oxymoron, right? Like, don't do this, but I want you to have the result of this without doing it. Like, am I making sense? Like you follow me? Right? God wants to cause people to stand out. Your Father who sees in secret, watch what he says. He says he'll reward you, but not just reward you. It says openly. Does that sound to anybody else like standing out? Sure sounds like standing out to me. Anybody here ever seen somebody else get blessed? And you're like, Jesus, that is wrong, right? or why not me, God? Wow, you know, it's just like this, right? He's rewarding them openly, and God wants to reward you, and he wants to reward me openly as well, right? He wants us to stand out. I thought it would be cool if I just quickly give you some verses that show us this, because I mean, right? Like, I mean, if you look at like biology, right? God gave you a thumbprint that nobody else has. Did you know that you have a voice that nobody else has ever had? God knows the voices of his children when they call. Ooh, I love that. You have eyes nobody else has ever had. Like, you are a unique individual. You are special. You are precious. And God made you unique just so you could stand out. Okay, let me just go to these verses. Joshua. I thought it'd be cool to get some Old Testament in here. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 7. Look what he says. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you. I'm going to make you stand out in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Ooh, I think that's good. How about this? How about Luke chapter 4? How about we look at the life of Jesus himself? Now, I know some of y'all, you get a little tripped out when we talk about Jesus and using him as an example for our lives, because you're like, well, of course he's supposed to be special. Of course he stood out. After all, he's the Son of God and I am not. But we forget that Jesus came and he took on human flesh and he lived out this life as a human. And my Bible tells me, and I love it so much, that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Jesus knew what it was like to live out a human life. Hello, somebody. And that's why it says that he is not someone who cannot sympathize with the feelings of our infirmities. Ooh, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He lived out a human life. And this is what it says about Jesus, what God did in Jesus' life. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 13, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Question, is that not standing out? Let's finish the rest of the verse. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. That was God's work in his life. And I'm of the faith that believes that what God did in the life of Jesus, he wants to do in my life too. Don't have time to talk about it, so let's move on to one more verse here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks to the life of, ooh, get this, a young adult. This is the Rock Church where I recently, this is Friday night where shift happens every Friday at 7 o'clock. Like, shift always happens all the time here in the young adults ministry. Wink, wink, right? But he's talking to a young adult, and look at what he says to this young adult. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. He says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. that everybody would recognize and everybody would see that God is doing something in your life. You see, the God that we serve is the kind of God that wants his people to stand out. Here's the catch. For his glory. God is looking to cause people to stand out for his glory. See, the thing that's different between what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6 and what we're talking about here is that these people were looking to stand out for their glory and for their praise. God doesn't want people to stand out for that. God wants people to stand out for his glory. Why? Why do you think that's so? Well, how about this? How about, first of all, because we need to understand that all the glory belongs to God anyways. Right? There's a place in the New Testament that says, hey, you have all these gifts, you have all these talents, all these things are going on, and you go around boasting as though you've made them all happen yourself. As though what you have wasn't already given to you by God. It was given by God. The whole reason why you're able to do what you do today is because God called it into existence. God allowed it to be so. And listen, any old time that God wants, he can cut it out just like that. Come on, the whole reason you have breath in your lungs today is because God spoke everything into existence and today holds everything together by the word of his power. So all the glory belongs to God. And so God wants us to stand out, but he wants the glory to go to the right place, to him where it belongs. See, the other thing I see here is that, you know what? The other reason why we shouldn't, you know, get people to look at us and to praise us is because when we accomplish things and people look at us and praise us, that's where it ends. But when we stand out and we're doing so for the glory of God, all of a sudden, yes, we may initiate the attention, we may initiate the notoriety, but then all of a sudden it's directed to God, and all of a sudden now these lives who see what God is doing in your life are now connected to him, and God can now begin to bring them up to a whole new level in their life. You follow me? And so that's why we need to stand out, but we need to do so for the glory of God. You see, there's something powerful about standing out in that it gets the attention of others and calls them up to a higher place when we stand out for God's glory. I love Romans chapter 11, verse number 11. It says here, this is kind of a little bit of a difficult verse, but don't worry, it'll make sense here in just a moment. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So you have to understand that when Jesus was sent to earth, he was initially sent to the Jews first. He was sent to the Jews first. Now, God's heart has always been that salvation would come to all the earth, but the Gentiles were kind of like, you know, the people that God would eventually get to. You follow me? But the Bible says that the Jews rejected Jesus. And after the Jews rejected Jesus, God went ahead and continued his work of salvation and brought salvation to you and I, Gentiles, people who are not Jewish, people who are not of the nation of Israel. And he brought it to us because, man, he wanted us to be saved. But he also knew that this great work of salvation would be so awesome that it would cause us to stand out so much so that it would get the attention of the Jewish people and it would provoke them to jealousy. Like, oh my gosh, why does it seem like they are so blessed? Why is God moving in their lives so much? How come not us? We are the people of God, and that through that they would be brought into salvation. See, when we stand out for God's glory, it gets the attention of others and allows God to get a hold of them and bring them up to the place that he has for them. Tonight, I also think it's important that we remember that standing out starts in the secret place. That's what Jesus said. Verse number 6, Matthew 6, 6, one more time. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, standing out starts in the secret place. That's where he said to go. That's where he said it happens. That's the starting point. You follow me tonight? Like, I hear a lot of people talk about how, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I totally agree with that. But I think sometimes we belittle how important it is to get a good start. You tell me what runner wants to start off bad and have to make up ground in the race. They want to start off good so that they can finish the best way they can. You follow me today? It's important that we start in the right place. And the starting place we're talking about tonight is understanding that, you know what, if we're going to stand out, it starts when you and I get alone with God in the secret place where nobody else sees, where nobody else cares. It's the time where we can get with God and allow him to do in our lives what he wants to do. It starts there. See, we got things backwards today. I just want to be honest with you today. I think sometimes we have things backwards. We live in an era and in a culture where, you know what, we're taking time to look at all the trends. We're looking at all the strategies. We're taking all the research and the technology and the formulas and the evaluations. And we're trying to use these tools to make an impact in our world. We're trying to use these tools to stand out the way God wants us to stand out. Now listen, my friends, I'm not against technology. I'm not against trends. I'm not against research. I'm not against common sense approach to church today, to Christianity, and to reaching the lost. But I need to inform everybody tonight that if you're really going to make an impact, you're going to have a little bit more than those tools. You're going to have some time invested in the secret place where God can get a hold of your life, where God can begin to purify you and remove the things that hold you back, where God can begin to empower you and you were in the place where you get to know him. I believe God's looking for a generation today who don't know him through their pastor only, who don't know him through their church experience only. God is looking for people who can say, you know what, I love my pastor and I love my church and thank God for them and I will always be a part. But you know what, I've met God for myself. I know who he is for myself. It doesn't matter if the church goes crazy, if the pastor goes crazy. I know my Jesus, so I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow and he's going to take my life and he's going to do something awesome with it. And so We got all these things, all these tools that, hey, they're great, and I'm not against them. But sometimes we put them before the thing that's really going to make the difference. And that is time with God in the secret place. See, one more time, all of our knowledge today, sometimes with all of our knowledge today, we make very little impact because we forget that God is the source of the power for us to stand out. Last thing I want to say to you tonight, okay? We're talking about standing out. We're talking about how, you know what? We all need to take heed of what Jesus has to say. Nobody is, you know, nobody is left out of what he has to say. We need to remember that, you know what? That we need to be people who don't toot our own horn, and we really trust God to bring about his rewards in our life. We need to remember tonight things like, you know what, God wants us to stand out, but he wants us to stand out for his glory. And we need to remember tonight things like, you know what, if you're going to stand out, it starts in the secret place. We're talking about standing out. The last thing I want to leave you with tonight is this thought, that if you're going to stand out, you'll have to be okay with being different. Like there's no standing out if you're not any different than everybody else. I think that's a good point. I think today, oftentimes, we are more interested in blending in, and we use that as, you know, we use the excuse that, you know what, I have to, you know, some people, I really think they take the verse in a way that Paul didn't intend sometimes, and you know, I become all things to all men that I might win some. And you look back over those verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll see that Paul says things like, hey, listen, I become like people who don't have law. And then he takes the time out to just clarify and be like, but that doesn't mean I don't have law toward Jesus Christ. Like, I'm under his law, I'm under his way, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse to just go be like everybody else. See, it's kind of like, you know what, if you want to shine a light in a dark place, like, you don't turn on a flashlight and cover it up because you want to blend in. Somehow you're going to defeat the darkness by being less bright. You follow me tonight? And I think that we need to become okay with being different. In 1 Peter, we read in chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. If you have the Old King James, I believe in the Old King James, it says, you're a peculiar people. You're weird. I wonder if I have any young adults in the house who are okay being labeled by the world as being a little bit weird, as being a little bit off, as being a little bit different than everybody else. Amen. It's not because I'm advocating that we be weird or that we be freaks of nature or do stupid things. But I mean, come on. I think that when I live out this life of Jesus Christ, I think some people in the world are going to be like, hey, that's weird. I don't like that. I think that's stupid. Like, this, like we have a problem if we're going through life, our Christian lives, and nobody's saying anything about it. Because everybody in the Bible I look at who served God, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted, they were attacked, they were belittled, they were ransacked, their stuff was stolen from them. Hello? But somehow we're of the notion that, you know what, I'm going to be, all those people in the past, they didn't know what they were doing. I have arrived. And I know just how to win everybody. It's to be just like them. Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox. But I do want you to walk away with that, you know what, if you're going to stand out, you have to be okay with being different. Anybody get something out of God's word tonight? Amen. All right. God wants you to stand out. Hey, tonight before we close, I just want to take a moment to make sure that everybody here is right with God. Hey, listen, I love John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world. That's why he did what he did. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus died on the cross. It was for love. It was for love. And I love so much there. It says, God so loved the world. It's like an all-inclusive statement. And if you're kind of unsure about that, just go ahead and read, you know, some more, a little bit more on it. And it starts using this term. It says things like, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe upon him would be saved. It starts using this term, whosoever. That tells me this, that God was willing, God wanted that everybody come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He did it for love. He did it because he loved you. He did it because he loved me. God understood the situation that we were in. God understood the plight that we were under.